Now let's continue on survey of the holy days in the Bible number 2. We're going to see with this survey that there is absolutely no justification, not a single peep of a justification for observing the holidays of this world and claiming that you're a Christian and believe in the Bible. There is non-zero, not a zip. And here's another thing. Because you keep Sunday and keep the holidays of this world, you don't know God, you don't know his plan. You may know of him. You may have a zeal for God. You may be happy that Jesus forgives your sins. But you don't have a true relationship with God because you're not baptized and don't have the Holy Spirit of God. And you think that you do. So let's look at it this way. And it's amazing. How many people demand honesty from everyone else, but they don't want to be honest with themselves and God? They want to have their way and have God endorse what they do. And they want to come to God and say, God, I'm doing this, and this is really fine and good, and it's really wonderful. Everybody's happy doing it, so it's got to be good. You must accept it. Well, God doesn't. So how do we know the truth? Well, if people would just take the Bible that they have and follow through with the survey that we are doing in these sermons, you will not find one positive thing to endorse Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, Lent, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And as I mentioned on Church at Home one time, I'll give you $1 million, and I don't have to produce it, if you can show me a live rabbit that can lay boiled, tattooed, and decorated chicken eggs. Okay. Now, you laugh at that and say that's foolish. Please understand. That's how foolish what you do is to God. So what is God doing and how are you going to know? Well, let's begin with some simple verses here. Let's come to Psalm 25 and verse 14. Because God is so great and fantastic that he has hidden within his word in plain sight what he's doing, the general timetable of how it's going to happen, etc. But for those who don't have the Spirit of God, they don't know and they can't find out. Unless you repent and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now verse 14 says, Psalm 25, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Yes, God has secrets. Even says, you're a God that hides yourself. Why does God hide himself? Because people don't want him around. God was on earth from the time of creation of Adam and Eve until the flood. And what happened? Everyone told God, get out of our lives. We're going to do what we want to do. And what happened? Well, it became so evil and corrupt that God had to destroy all life and save humanity through Noah and his family. One man. So stop and think on this for a minute. If you believe the majority is always right, why did the flood occur when only one man was righteous? You can't answer that. Notice what else. And he will show them his covenant. And the covenant here is the new covenant, and what is God doing? See, because everything in the Bible is based on a principle, which is this. The natural first, then the spiritual. So we have the physical creation. God gave the physical creation and built into it in the way that he made the heavens, the earth, the sun, and the moon. He built into it the 7-day week, the appointed times, You go back and read it, Genesis 1, 14 and 15. And hidden in those things, people read that and say, oh, well, that's nice, God did this. But hidden in that creation is the secret and plan of God. Now, another thing that's important to do, let's come here to Psalm 111. We'll just review this again because this is true. Okay, Psalm 111. So as we turn here, you need to ask yourself. Okay, Psalm 111 and verse 10. Now, let's go back here to verse 6. Psalm 111 and verse 6. We'll see the flow of this. So what I want you to do with this is just follow along in the Bible, and you will see there's not one place which says, keep Christmas. Matter of fact, the word's not even in the Bible. Yes, it talks about the birth of Christ, but Christmas, December 25th, is not the birth of Christ. It condemns Halloween by saying, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them, because they're seeking to the dead and to demons which peep. Isaiah the 8th chapter. Okay? What does Halloween commemorate? Death. It is the highest witchcraft Shabbat for witches and wizards. And they do exist. There are 2 million registered witches in the United States alone. And the Wicca, which is the religion of the witches, is recognized by the United States military and universities as a legal religion, and they must have their days off. Now let's go on here. Verse 7. The works of his hand are true and justice. All his precepts are sure. No one's going to escape God. Wages of sin is death. That's just the way it is. Sooner or later, if you live a halfway decent life, you'll live longer. If you don't, you're going to die. You dishonor your parents, bang. You may get in a wreck. You may take an overdose of drugs. That happened to a couple who went out to a party on a Friday night, hadn't taken any drugs, someone gave them some meth, blew their brains, completely lost orientation where they were, and the vehicle they were in got stuck in a snowstorm. They died. See, because people love to break the laws of God. They love to rebel against God. However, there's a penalty. Wages of sin is death. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people, yes, if they'll repent. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Now here's the way out of all of these traps of human nature. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all of those who do or keep or practice his commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Do you love the commandments of God? Do you love the commandment which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Do you love the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me? Now, there are a lot of people who when they came to a Sabbath-keeping church, they eventually gave up on the Sabbath and holy days, which, as we saw, is the secret which tells us what God is doing. They lost all knowledge. How did that happen? How could such a thing happen? Well, let's come back here to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and let's see. Combination of several things. Number one, those who were teaching. Number two, those who were learning and listeners or followers. And the fatal mistake that they made was that they gave up believing God and believing his word. 2 Timothy, okay? Let's come to chapter 3 first, since that's just before chapter 4. Let's just review this. This is the anchor of all belief right here. Paul wrote to Timothy that from a child you've known the holy writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now the holy writings are the Old Testament. And in there it tells all about Christ. Tells about the kingdom of God. Tells about the Sabbath. Tells about the holy days. Okay? Now here's what they've forgotten. And here's what people in the world do not believe. See? Now if you go to a church and they say, well, the law's been done away. Or we have a new dispensation and we don't have to do the old laws. The God of the Old Testament was a harsh God. But Jesus is nice and wonderful. Well, Paul wrote that if you reject Jesus, you're going to face a far worse penalty of consuming fire from Jesus Christ when the judgment day comes. So I don't think you've been taught the right thing. So here's the truth. Verse 16, all scripture. That means Old and New Testament. All scripture is God-breathed. Now, God did use human beings to write it because people told God, go away. So he said, okay, I'll go away. I'll hide myself. But I'll reveal myself to those I want to reveal myself to. And I will give them the understanding of what I'm doing. Now, notice it's profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God, and that means anyone who's truly of God, may be complete. What does this tell us? If you don't have the Word of God and you don't understand it, you're not a complete human being. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Fully equipped for every good work. Now, all those good works are the laws and commandments of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the inspired writings of the apostles, holy men moved by the Spirit of God to write it. And for the whole Bible, God only used 40 men to write the entire Bible, 32 for the Old Testament and 8 for the New Testament. Now, if you believe God is almighty and all-powerful and can control all things, don't you think he can control 40 men to write what he wants written? Now, let's look at the responsibility of what those who are teaching are to do, so that the people that they are teaching will know God, know the knowledge of God, understand the Word of God, and be in a covenant relationship with him. Verse 1, he wrote, Timothy, I charge you. Now that's pretty direct teaching, isn't it? I charge you, therefore, in the sight of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the Word. Now that's what's to be taught. The Word of God, not some feel-good type of religion with the name of Jesus Christ attached to it, okay? Preach the Word, from the Word. Notice, be urgent in season and out of season. What are the seasons or the appointed times that God has given? The holy days, which he built right into the creation. And remember what he said about his law. He didn't come to abolish. He didn't come to do away. He said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Now, you think about that. Okay? Be urgent in season, out of season. This tells us what? That which looks physical in the Old Testament, like the days, the months, and the years, the calendar, the holy days, and so forth, that's the physical. The New Testament gives us the spiritual meaning of those. So when God brings the spiritual meaning of those things, it's elevated to a higher level, not eliminated. Be urgent in season, out of season, convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. Now here's what happened because they didn't do it. You ever gone to a church of God where all the teachings become very laid back and very, I think the best way to describe it is like jello. Sometimes firm, sometimes shaky, sometimes liquid. no substance to it. Okay? Now, that happens all the time in Christian churches. Oh, they teach you how to be a better person, but you could get that out of psychology books. Oh, they use the name of Jesus, but they never declare him as the Lord of the Sabbath and follow the Sabbath. And like happened to a woman who just recently, through church at home, found out about the Sabbath, she went to her Sunday-keeping preacher and said, well, seventh day is the Sabbath of God. Why don't we keep it? You know, and that's the first thing you ask when you really find out about the Sabbath. She said, oh, we're in a new dispensation. Now, we don't have to do it. Who gave that dispensation? Was it God or was it Satan? Because here's what will happen. And did we not see this happen? For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own lust, not the Spirit of God. They shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. When some people were told, well, it's all right to keep Christmas now, whoopee, I missed that Christmas tree all these years. Were they converted? Probably not. Were they following the teachings of God? No. Were they attending a church? Yes. But did it have anything meaningful in their lives? No. And when they found out they could go to church on Sunday, boy, a lot of them left in droves to keep Sunday. Now, those who believed in God and the Sabbath and the holy days, they didn't leave. They kept them. See? So God has a way of separating. So here's what happens. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside unto myths. That's exactly what has happened. All right, let's come back here to Leviticus 23, and we're just going to do a quick survey. Leviticus 23, because what we're going to find out is that not only is there the weekly Sabbath, but all the holy days are themselves Sabbaths, and they are called a Sabbath. Leviticus 23. So what God has done here in Leviticus 23, and I am sure that those who believe in a so-called new dispensation will say, well, all of these are temporary and all of these don't have to be kept anymore. Well, I think you're going to be surprised by the time we finish this little short series here. Okay? Now let's read verse 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, or the appointed times. God appointed them. They stand fast forever, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my appointed feast. He owns them. They belong to him, and no one can tell him what to do with them, and no one can say that they should not be kept. So God put them here in Leviticus 23 as a test. Do you believe God or not? And did they keep these things in the New Testament? And if they did, why doesn't Christian world today do it today? When they all know that there is not one justification for Sunday anywhere in the Bible. So he says here, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work in it. It is a Sabbath unto the Lord in all your dwellings. All right? So it's called the Sabbath of rest and also a Sabbath. Now, verse 4 is key. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Didn't we just read where Paul told Timothy, preach in season, out of season, be urgent, and so forth? Yes. All right, the Passover, 14th day of the first month. Then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day of the 15th of now these are the months according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, is also a holy convocation. It is called a Sabbath. And back in John 19:31, they didn't want to leave the bodies on the cross because you have the Passover day when Jesus was crucified, and the next day coming up was the first day of unleavened bread, so they didn't want to have the bodies on the cross on that Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. Okay. Offer an offering, then it tells all about how to count Pentecost, and it says right here that you shall proclaim that day to be a holy convocation, verse 21. That's Pentecost. And we come down here to trumpets, which we're coming to here this coming Thursday. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of ram's horns, a holy convocation. It is a Sabbath. Day of Atonement is a Sabbath. And it says, verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at sunset, from sunset to sunset, shall you keep your Sabbath. That's how God defines time, from sunset to sunset. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. The first day is a Sabbath. The eighth day is a Sabbath. We find that down in verse 39. So, if you have one Sabbath, you have all the Sabbaths, and all is the weekly Sabbath and appointed time. Yes, God declared it. All right? All of the holy days, then, are also Sabbaths. Now, we're going to do a quick overview in the Old Testament, beginning in Joshua 5, and we are going to see that the children of Israel, just before they went into the promised land, kept the Passover. That also means, though it may not be necessarily stated, that they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because, see, once it's told us in the Bible in one place what to do, when it makes reference to it later on, it means to do what has been referenced in that place in the Bible. Okay? Let's come here, Joshua 5 and verse 10. The children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the plains of Jordan. So they kept the Passover. And verse 11 is a key verse when you come to counting Pentecost. They ate the old grain of the land the next day after the Passover, unleavened cakes and roasted new grain in the same day. So that was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now you go back and read the instruction in Leviticus 23, and you find that God told the children of Israel, when you're in the wilderness, you're not going to eat any bread. But when you come into the land, you shall take a sheaf of the harvest and wave it before the Lord, and then you can eat the grain and the bread. So that's what happened here. And that's why then God stopped the manna on verse 12. And the manna stopped the next day after they had eaten the grain of the land. No more manna came. 40 years every morning, except the Sabbath. You'd think that the Sabbath would be ingrained within them for 40 years? Okay? And I bet that grain tasted very good to those people, because the ones who were not killed in the wilderness because of their rebellion were all of those who were 20 years old and up. So here, they were 20 years old, and now another 20 years before they eat another piece of bread. Well, according to this world's diets, they must have been in fantastic shape, huh? Yes, indeed. Eating manna, angel's food. All right? So they kept the Sabbath. They kept the Passover. They kept the holy days. Now, let's come to the book of Judges and see what happens. Because human nature tends to corruption. And let's see what the children of Israel, their successors, did after the elders had died. All right? Let's pick it up here. Joshua died, verse 8. Now, verse 10. Judges, the second chapter. Beg your pardon. If I said Joshua, the second chapter, I meant Judges. So go ahead to the next book. Judges, the second chapter. So here's what happens. Every new generation that comes along, even within a family, every individual has choices. And God has set before all humanity, wherever they are, it is evident and it is there, whether they have it written down or not. He set before them life and death, good and evil, blessing and cursing. And all the young people growing up think that as their minds are beginning to mature, that they know everything in the world, and now they want to run their life their own way. So here's what happened. Verse 10, Judges 2. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord. And how do you know the Lord? To keep his commandments. Okay? Nor even the works which he had done for Israel. Short memory. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed the gods, even the gods of the people that were around them, and bound themselves down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord for Baal and Ashtaroth, and Ashtaroth was the female goddess, the queen of heaven today, who's known as the Virgin Mary. Sound familiar? Yes, indeed. So then God's correction came. All right, let's go forward. Let's look at some other things. Let's come here to 1 Kings 8, which is just a few books forward. So in this survey, we're going to continue making our way to the New Testament, 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, because we're going to talk about the time of Solomon. And we're going to see that they kept the Feast of Tabernacles, all right? 1 Kings 8 and verse 65. We're just going to read this one, these last two verses here, and then we're going to go forward to 1 Chronicles, the 5th chapter, which is the parallel account. Verse 65, at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering of Hamath to the river of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, 14 days. And on the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. So we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, aren't we? Now, in the days of Solomon. All right, this is getting pretty close to 500 years after they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, when we come to 1 Chronicles, we have a greater description of it here, okay? 1 Chronicles, that's just the second book before the New Testament, okay? 1 Chronicles, no, it's 2 Chronicles. Go forward to the next one, the last book before it. Okay? Now, what I want to do with this is I want to go backwards. Okay? Now, we know that in the seventh month, the first day of the month, trumpets, is a holy day. Okay? We know the tenth day of the month is the Day of Atonement, which we're not to eat food or drink any water. So when we have 7 days and 7 days, and then the eighth day listed back there in 1 Kings 8 and verse 66, we're talking about 7 days dedication of the temple, 7 days and the eighth day for the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So let's see it here. Pick it up in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 6. And then we will go back to 2 Chronicles 5. At the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath to the river of Egypt. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Okay? Dedication of the altar. So what do we have in a time frame here? Y'all find out, Second Chronicles, I said 6, I meant 7. Oh, beg your pardon.
Right.
Right into the next chapter. Raise your hand and wave it around so I know I made a mistake. Okay. Okay. Second Chronicles 7, verses 8 and 9. Last part of verse 9. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, okay, that is the day after the Feast of Tabernacles, he sent them away. Now we have a chronology here, don't we? So here they kept, beginning with trumpets. Now let's see what happened on trumpets, because that's the beginning of the first 7 days, which is the dedication of the altar. So let's come back to 2 Chronicles 5, and let's see what happened here. Okay? We'll just summarize a little bit so we can move forward. They brought the ark and put it in the Holy of Holies. The Levites carried them. All the priests and Levites were there. They had extra altars for burnt offerings and things like that. Now, verse 10. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put in it at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now, verse 11, chapter 5, 2 Chronicles. And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, for all the priests were sanctified and did not wait by course. Now that's a whole other topic which we can cover at a later time. The Levitical singers, all of them, then it lists all of them, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being clothed in white linen, having cymbals and harps and lyres, stood at the east end of the altar. This is the dedication of the altar. And with them 120 priests sounding with silver trumpets. This had to be on the Feast of Trumpets, the beginning of the dedication of the altar. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voices with the silver trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, or his mercy endures forever, that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. God put his presence in there, and that is known as the Shekinah. Verse 14, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon gave his prayer. Fire came down, chapter 7, consumed the burnt offering, and glory of the Lord filled the house. Okay, I'm just summarizing it as an overview, you see. So this had to be on trumpets. So what did we have here? We had trumpets, day one, first day of the 7th month, and then the 7th day, the dedication of the altar ended. Then what happened? You have 3 days till atonement. 8th, 9th, and 3rd day is the 10th. Now, you can't have any feasting on the Day of Atonement. It's a day of fasting. So that's why you had the dedication of the altar for 7 days first, and then the Feast of Tabernacles next. But they kept atonement in between. So that's what you have here with the sequence of events. Now, what happened with the situation with Solomon? God gave him peace. God gave him wisdom. God gave him wealth. God gave him riches. He was the smartest man on earth. And all the kings of the earth brought their tribute to him. He gave them knowledge. And then what happened? Well, he married too many women, and his wives turned his heart away. And he left God and offered to other gods. So you see what happens. If you do not continue and in season learn and understand about the Sabbath and holy days of God, what happens? He ended up being pagan. And God took away the 10 tribes of Israel from them and gave them to Jeroboam and told Jeroboam through a prophet of God that if you would keep the commandments of God and teach the people to do so, that you, Jeroboam, would have a dynasty like David's. But he didn't do it, and he went right back to the religion of Egypt. What did he do? He built the golden calf in Dan and Bethel and set up temple services for these pagan satanic gods and made himself a priest. Now, there were some righteous kings, as we will see, as we examine 2 Chronicles a little more, that did keep the commandments of God and did keep the holy days of God, but that was not on a continuous basis. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and pick up the rest of the story.